Let's look at verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Take a look on the screen. If you don't come with your Bible, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Now, look at the next verse. It says, the Lord answered me and said, what did he say? Write the vision. Let's stop at that first word, write. You know, when we are growing up, primary school, they will say it's for reading, writing, arithmetic. Remember? Okay, write. We must learn to write things down in our lives. God said, what I'm giving you as vision, write it down. Don't trust your memory alone. Sometimes when you come to service like this, you will hear something that will make your life different. You write it down. Like a sister, she's in service. I don't know where she's in service today. Her friends have been telling her, let's go abroad. Not let's go abroad. Let's go abroad. Let's not go abroad. She was just in the service like this. And then, bam, God said, let me show you the next 5 years of your life. This is what you should do. This is what you should do. This is what. Like, we're talking, but Spirit of God just took that holy site and did something with it. And then she saw 5 years what she should do, what business she should invest in, and kind of a thing. And she got home and said, my husband, I received this in the service today. Gave it to me. I said, let's go after that. You don't have to go abroad. Whereas somebody was sitting over there, Dr. Dele, sitting over there. And we were worshiping God, and he just had a particular street in London. Particular street. So he wrote it down. What kind of street? He was going to go and do his postdoc, something. Stuff. So he got to UK and he was looking for where to go to church. Guess what? That street was where the church should go to was. And he had a new street in the service. So, by the way, it's what you come to look for. If you come and look around and say, women are not covering their head, that's what you're going to see. So, write. Are you hearing me? Write things down in your life that are significant. Now, don't go and write how your mother-in-law fought you and took away your blah, 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 blah. That's not good to read over. Over the years, I've learned to write things down. I've always used phone that has pen. I don't type. When I was going to school, typing is for girls. That's for everybody now. So I always write. If I show you my phone, you see things are right, things come to me, things are right, things 2 months to come, last year, clarity, stuff like that, write them down. If you write them down, a lot of things you will not escape in life. One of the greatest men of God who ever taught me the word of God, Papa Kenneth Hagin, he said he always keep paper around him, small like that, 2x3, that something God tell him, you write it down. And one day he was teaching, and he brought something out that he wrote 50 years ago. On paper, yellow pad. Now, you are blessed with a phone and a tablet now. You can write things down. I have a particular app on my phone that I write stuff like that, like diary, anything. And you know, what it does for me is that when I open a day like this, it will tell me what happened those days in my past that I've written down. So, tell everybody, write things down. You see, the God of Christianity is a God of writing. First time God came on this planet, what did he come to do? He wrote at Mount Sinai, he wrote on 2 tablets, 1 Samsung, 1 Apple. 5 years, he gave them, right? Just to, in the book of Revelation, God could write some really complex thing that you can't read it when you read it, except somebody tells you what it is. That's how you should be writing your diary. Write your diary in such a way that nobody can read it except you. So God wrote a book, it was in his right hand, and an angel cried, said, who can open this seal, and open the book, and open the seal? And nobody, except Jesus, because they wrote it together. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. So I have to write things down, help you. Write things down about your life. For instance, I woke up this morning, and I had this mini dream. It's amazing, isn't it? Already, I just saw a soldier dropping from the sky with a parachute. and he was packing things, and he packed and he moved, joined another soldier and moved out there. And I forgot it entirely because my service, you know, and my first service, we started talking about fighting the good fight. I said, oh, no wonder. I had that mini dream this morning about fight. If you do that in your life, you will see a lot of encounters of God in your life. Are you hearing me? So, oh, Dr. Dele, I was looking for you. You're there. Okay. So, don't forget that. Write this down. Write this down. I'm saying it again, write things down. Some of you spend your money crazily, you don't write your money down. You just spend. When I get money, I classify them and they are gone out of my hand. If I got 2 million now, by the next 10 minutes, they have been written out. I live a broke life by choice. Some of you live broke life by force. I live a broke life by choice. I don't let money stay with me. I'm like a bank. Banks don't keep money. If they do keep money, they won't have a fine building. They spend the money, they send the money out. But anyway, leave that one alone. All right, are we ready? Well, let's read what is written. Let's read some things in the book that you have been following about. That was, what's the book today? Daily Insight. Huh? Oh, it's Powerful Principles of Increase. Not daily. Did we delay insight last week?
Sorry, they are right.
They are right. Because you didn't write it down. You wrote it down. You got that. You see, he said, I just checked it and they were right. Let's clap for Bola for writing this down. All right. Let's do it. So we take this book, read a little bit of it, then come back. Another one on healing. We pray. And Professor Day will take us prayer of agreement. Enjoy yourself, please.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, church. Thank you.
Day 9. Performance review. Okay. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 to 11. When you know you are going to meet your boss in a couple of weeks for a performance review, how do you act? Most of us look at our list of responsibilities to be certain we get all our tasks accomplished. And we make sure we are pleasant to the people around us. The stakes can be pretty high. We may want a promotion or a raise. Or we may just want to hear that we are doing a good job so we can stay employed. We do whatever it takes so that the review is as positive as possible. In other words, the reality of the review makes a difference in our choices. The Bible tells us that we will be called into the boss's office one day for the ultimate performance review. We'll stand before Jesus Christ to give an account of our choices as Christians. This is called the Bema seat, which is named after the victory platform in the ancient Olympics. Believers aren't aware this judgment seat is coming. They know there is going to be a judgment at the end of time for unbelievers, but they are unaware there is another one for those who have trusted in Christ. On that day, you and I will look Jesus in the eye as he reveals the times we made selfish choices and the times we were gracious to others, the moments we hoped no one was watching, and the ones we hoped the world knew what we were doing. All our selfishness will burn up and vanish. And we'll be left with the reward we've earned by pleasing God. And this is the only performance review by Christ we'll ever experience. For that reason, we need to get ready now by aligning our lives with God's purposes and His ways. I want that review to be a good experience for me. And how about you? Thank you.
What a nice way to start service this morning. What a nice way to know that, for me personally, my life took a drastic turn when I came to see that one day I'll stand before Christ. It took a different turn entirely, that I will stand before Him, give account for my life. Not in the sense of, but in the sense of, you did this, you did this, you get this. Not to enter heaven, I've already gotten heaven entered, but to give reward. And you're going to get a reward for things like this. Giving a bottle of Coke for somebody. Getting somebody's clothes changed. Slippers bought for that person. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When you... Mothers that are in Christ will get reward for suspending their time to take care of their children because of Jesus. You're going to get rewarded for the money you gave, the time you gave. That was a song that said that when we get to heaven, we stand before something and I'll see something about it. They sang it on my birthday, the choir, along with Shola. Yeah, Shola. Yeah, remember that song you sang? Praise God. So let's be aware of that. Now, that will not scare you like, hey. When I was in school, I always read because I know exam is coming. But you know what I do? I read for exam every day. So that when they said, today's exam, I will not be surprised. So let's be ready.
Pastor, how can I be ready? Should I just come and sleep in church?
There's no bed here. It just means that you get down to do what you need to do with your life. Is that all right? Okay. While we are still here, we need healing. Am I right? We need our body to be intact so that, or else we don't want to live earlier. So let's welcome Sister Muji. Let's go to the book on healing, 365 days of health and healing. You're not clapping for Jesus very well. All right, let's get on to the next devotional. All right, why we do all this? Because we want you to have some parts of different things in the service so that you can have it all, so that we'll go home with our cup overflowing. All right. Today, what's our reading?
Healing. We are reading on healing. Good morning, church. God wants to heal all. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. James 5:14-15. James was writing to believers, and he asked, is there any sick among you? Notice he didn't say, if there is any sick among you, let him pray and see if, by some chance, God might want him healed. Nor did James say, let him fast and pray for 3 weeks to see if it's God's will to heal him. Nothing is said in this scripture about whether it's God's will or not. And it doesn't say the Lord shall raise him up if he's one of a few destined to be healed because God is in a good mood. James just tells us, if there is any sick in the church, let the elders pray for him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Then James said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Verse 15. God isn't confused or mixed up. If it weren't his will for all to be healed, why would he tell sick people how to get healed? God reveals his will right here in the scripture, and his perfect will is to heal all, anytime and anywhere. Confession, let's do it together. God has given me several ways to receive healing according to his word. When I ask church elders to anoint me with oil and pray, the prayer of faith will raise me up.
Hallelujah. I just called Prof. Thank you for clapping. I just called Prof. Let's act on this. Should we? Praise God. So he said, Pastor, did you hear about this verse before? I didn't. We just do what God was doing in the service. He said, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Elders are here, two of us, but other people have gone on assignment. And then, of course, people that pray along for the sick. Dr. Ariel is here with me. You know, the anointing was born on them that I shared with years ago, so they're going to come. We're going to anoint you with oil, all right? Okay? Now, this is for service that we have the men's leaders, the women. Anybody here that you are over ELN, that you pray for the sick some time ago, when you are praying for the sick, over ELN, if you didn't hear what I was saying, you are not part of them then. All right? So, he said, is anyone sick among you? Give us that verse again. Is anyone sick among you? Give us that verse, James 5, verse what? 14. Okay, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. Not whether you want to. We just had that one, right? So the best we can do is to act on the word of God. And if you are sick here, the Lord will raise you up. Because we are going to pray over you, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. Are we ready? Are we ready? Okay, you know what we are going to do? We have a bottle of oil over here. It's almost finishing. So I should go and buy another one this coming week. Now, we're going to pray. Otherwise, please come and join me. We're going to pray. When we pray, after we finish praying, you're not going to pray when you come forward. You're going to pray. Say, pray over them. We're going to pray over you. And then next, you're just going to anoint you with oil in the name of